Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, October the 7th of 2019 here. Excuse me. And I'm so glad you could join us tonight, wherever you may be accessing this show from. Whether you're here in Michigan or maybe you're in another state somewhere or even another country. We're so glad you could join this program tonight, wherever you may be listening from. And we're so glad you made the choice. And I know God is proud of you too for tuning in to this great program tonight. Wherever you are. I want to start off with something that I heard yesterday morning at church. It's not spiritual. It's kind of funny, actually. But so we had a guest speaker yesterday morning, Happy Caldwell. If you haven't heard of him, go Google Happy Caldwell and see what all he's wrote. Jeannie Caldwell, she's a beautiful singer. Happy Caldwell is a great teacher. And what you eating?
McChicken.
I'll get to those in a minute, folks. But right now I'm concerned about this Coke thing. And so one time Dr. Caldwell was flying on an airplane, rather recent commercial aircraft. Forget where he said he was flying back from, but he was flying to Little Rock. And they hand him some cookies and they hand him a napkin. The napkin talks about this Coca-Cola, this man who was the CEO of Coca-Cola for 32 years. And the napkin says, we have a beverage for every occasion, including when you're up in an airplane, 32,000 feet. Now, that man had a vision. That vision, by the way, your vision, your ambition, and goals are three different things. I'm going to touch on that in a few minutes. Sorry. We were just figuring, something out real quick, but like I was saying, your vision, ambition, and goals are three different things. What I mean is, what if your goals have something to do with your vision? And obviously, if you have a vision that you want it, do you see yourself doing, how are you going to get there? But as I said, I will come to that. You know, what I'm at right now is that Coca-Cola, that man wanted to see to himself that everybody, every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth got to taste some of his product, some of that product from the Coca-Cola company. And let me tell you, Coca-Cola is the best cola there is. We can debate all we want about the other soft drinks, Sprite, Fanta, root beer, you know, Orange Crush, Sunkist, and all the other different ones, all the off-brand ones. At least as far as colas are concerned, Coca-Cola is the best. That's the one I stick with. As I am taking a couple of sips right there. Just picture that combination. Just picture that concession, I mean, that feeling that you feel when that fizzy Coca-Cola hits your tongue. You just feel that going down into your mouth. It's like the little pop type feeling. And it's always fantastic. But that man's, but you see, that man's vision was that everyone would get to taste Coca-Cola. Now, I'm sure there's people, especially people in other countries. In some countries, Coca-Cola is not sold. It's just Pepsi. Did you know that, Brooke?
I did not know that.
I want to say that there's a certain I don't know which ones they all are, but in certain countries, Coke is not sold. I am also sure that there are other countries where Pepsi is not sold. That you have heard of, though, right? There are countries where Pepsi is not sold.
I haven't, but I'm sure it's true.
And then, like in other countries, though, Coca-Cola, not only does it use different water to match the other countries, but it even has different names. Like in India, I want to say Thumbs Up is the Coca-Cola. I want to say Limca is the Sprite. Fanta is still Fanta. Doesn't the name Fanta sound like it just might be Indian?
Maybe.
I think it is Indian, in fact. Because everything else is named different from our stuff. And then in Mexico, you understand some of the Cokes there are named different things, right? Do they also have the American-named ones also alongside them, or not everywhere?
Probably not everywhere.
But have you? But did you find that there were some places when you went to Cancun where they had the Mexican Coke right alongside the American Coke?
I don't really remember. We went to a lot of restaurants, but
which Coke did they? Which Coke did most of them have? The American Coke or the Mexican Coke?
I honestly have no idea, Riz.
You'll have to look and then tell me.
Well, right. I will.
Because, by the way, listeners, she will be going to Mexico in a week and I can't wait to hear how it went. But about this, it was his vision that everyone would get to have a taste of Coca-Cola. That doesn't mean they all had to buy a bottle. That could just mean they got a taste somewhere, maybe. At an airport. At a... something. That he had that vision. Obviously, he had to set some goals for the company to make that a reality. Increased advertising. Working on closing the gap in some of those countries where they may have only served Pepsi. And he had to have the ambition. That ambition is you. You actually following through on what you're looking to accomplish. Does that make sense, Brooke?
It does make sense.
That ambition is you following through. The goals are what you set to help make your vision a reality. Your vision. And when we look at this on the spiritual side, the Bible, there's two different things I want to touch on where the Bible talks about vision. One, the Bible tells us that if we have a vision, we should make it plain. Like your church and your goal is, we see ourselves in this new building. And we want to be like, and that, and what all we want to do from that building, who all do we want to reach, if that's part of the vision. Well, write down that vision. Make it plain so that other people can see it. Then obviously you'll want to set some goals based on that. And you got to believe the money in and all that and get that ambition going. Build that. Then you're seeing that vision lived out. There's another verse. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So the building's built. You don't necessarily think you're going to grow. Maybe as a church, you think it's about the size that I think God wants us to be or whatever. You don't know that. Well, you know God wants you to grow. God wants you to triple your membership in the church, and he wants you to build a building, and you don't know it because you haven't asked him about your vision. So maybe he gave you a vision, and everything, like as far as the building being built, and that you built that. Now, as far as seeing that vision fulfilled, you believe in God for new faces to come in, to win souls to the kingdom of God. So, it's important that we find out what our vision is. From God, if God has what our vision is, because we can have visions for ourselves of maybe how we want our life to be. What if it's not God's? That's why you should always ask yourself, what's your vision for me, Jesus? What do you see me? Where do you see me? What have you called me to do? Happy Caldwell said that there were some things that he told other people to do before Happy did them. And he kept moving on to the next person, and those other people weren't, because those other people weren't doing them. Happy did those things. Happy Caldwell talked about, last night he talked a little bit about America without naming any names or anything. And I will touch on that for a few minutes tomorrow night. And as Christians, what can we do about it to fix this? So, figured I would just give you a little golden nugget from what we learned yesterday at churches because it's like if when the Holy Spirit says, or at least if you feel like there's a check in your spirit man, and you feel like something's telling you, you know, Miracle Man, I wish you'd share that, then I feel like I should share it. So that's why these golden nuggets are good and they're powerful. Amen. Now, let me just check the, let me see how we're going on time. Oh, that's good. We're not doing too bad. So, anyhow, this past weekend, I went to, for the first time in over a year, 15 months actually, far too long in my opinion, went to a Ponderosa Steakhouse in Mount Pleasant. By the way, in this area, there are Ponderosa Steakhouses in Bay City, Clare, and Mount Pleasant. Also, there is one in Ludington. And then I believe there's one left in the Detroit area, maybe two. I have to look. But that buffet had so many great things on it when I went to Mount Pleasant. It was on the way to a sports event, which I will talk about when it's the proper time. But they had so much great stuff on there, and it was just, I felt like I had found something I was missing, and it just felt good. I wish that if you called in advance, do you think they can do this, Brooke? Like, if they have, like, the country fried steak, but it's not on the buffet, can they put it on there for you, like, if they know you're coming, do you think?
Where at?
Like at Ponderosa.
I don't know if they would do that. Maybe you'd have to order it, probably.
Because I'm just thinking of how you could still do it without having to pay extra.
Right.
Because I asked one time about the fish, and they said they could. This was several years ago. And I have a lot of fond childhood memories of going to the Ponderosa to dine at the buffet. And I got to say, it's just beautiful. I have memories of going there with my grandparents, my grandma and grandpa. I told my mom several months ago. Sadly, this was before I found out that the Cadillac Ponderosa closed. Because from where he lives, Clare's a little bit further. But thank God they still got a Ponderosa. Hallelujah. Because sadly, they keep all closing down. Because Ponderosa doesn't, I don't think Ponderosa owns any of their property, sadly. Because these landlords, how did those landlords get to be so powerful?
I don't know.
And I was proud of how full I saw Ponderosa get while I was in there. But it was some really good stuff. Like I said, they had several different kinds of fried fish, country fried steak, the wingdings, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes. They had crab legs, which I had never seen them have before, but I skipped those. But next time, I'm just going to skip breakfast before I go even. You know, I might fast for like 16 hours before I go to just devour the thing. Would you want to do the same thing?
Yeah.
Because especially if you know they're going to have like the biggest buffet of your life there, if you know what I mean?
Right.
Because I'll tell you, that is some good stuff. I've had some great things at Golden Corral too, but for whatever reason, sometimes Ponderosa finds a way to top it. Do you feel like, are you one of those that prefers Ponderosa over Golden Corral, actually?
Yeah, probably.
Partly because of the wingdings, you think?
Yeah.
Because some other places need to find a way to do the wingdings like that. The reason I won't really go to these Chinese buffets too much is because sometimes, although they're great, there's that dread that comes with wishing they were Ponderosa wingdings.
Right.
Because they're so good. They're so good. They really are. And who knows? Maybe someday Ponderosa will put garlic burgers on their buffet. Maybe someday Ponderosa will decide to going across from going where Kmart used to be. Are you listening, Jerry Deming? If you still run the Bay City store, are you listening? Jerry Deming, can I hear you? You know what? I should find his address. Because he was the one who closed Midland. I want to know if he's ever given thought into reopening it. Because I think it'd be pretty cool if he did. And if I suggest it, can I get a buffet membership for like, I don't know, 5-10 years? All you can eat. Or even if it's just for the wingdings, I could live with that. Like eating nothing from there but wingdings. Ever, you know what I mean? Because they're the star of the show. But, Brooke, you informed me that you didn't eat any of the wingdings for whatever reason.
I did not. I don't remember trying them.
Even though you dreaded that you didn't try them, didn't you?
I do. I dread it now, looking back.
Yep. Like I said, Bay City still got theirs. And I will say, they can claim all they want about them not having a good mall and what have you anymore. They still got Ponderosa. But go to your local Ponderosa, wherever they have them. Check out the Grand Buffet, as they used to call it back in the 90s, and see what all's on it. And maybe they can ship some wingdings to you. If you're not in an area where there is one, or some raisin bread. I miss the raisin bread back from the 90s. My mom's listening. She could tell you folks. That was some good stuff. We went there a lot back in quite a bit in the 1990s. I appreciated it. For whatever reason, I think I appreciated it more before Midland's closed in that than what I did then, but I will say, it was really good then, too, back in the mid-1990s. But, moving on. I want to encourage you listeners, please tell others how they can be a part of the show. Remember to call in if you either want to talk to me about sports or about the Word of God or anything else, or if you just want to call in so you can listen into the show. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt. Go ahead and press 1. And when you hear the thing says press one. Go ahead and press one. It will take him to a call screener. My assistant, Brooke here, she'll answer the phone. She will let me know that we have a caller. And then I'll say okay. And I'm going to let you on the air and we can talk. So, here's the plan. The plan is for tonight, I'm going to sing a song. And then we're going to get into the Word of God for a little bit. I'm going to exhort you a bit. And then I've got a lot of sports to get to tonight. I have some hockey. And then I have a bunch of football. I got some Midland stuff, some Dow stuff, some Michigan stuff, Michigan State, and some NFL stuff that does not include the Lions because the lie downs took a bye this week. So, with that in mind, I had a song that I'd love to sing. I'm going to sing for you guys. Song, this is called Breathe On Me. Some of you folks that have been in the faith for a while, you may remember this. It's talking about the fire and power the power, the fire, and the rain of the Holy Ghost. Burning, raining, and breathing upon us. And so, it's a good one. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. I look to you now. You're all I need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. I look to you now. You're all I need. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. Rain on me. Rain on me. Holy Ghost shower, rain on me. I look to you now. You're all I need. Holy Ghost shower, rain on me, burn in me, burn in me. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. I look to you now, you're all I need. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me, rain on me, rain on me. Holy Ghost shower, rain on me. I look to you now, you're all I need. Holy Ghost shower, rain on me. Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost shower, Holy Ghost fire, breathe on me. Thank you, Jesus, for your power, your fire, for your rain, raining down on us, Jesus. I ask you, Lord God, to just fill us right now, Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. I worship you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. I thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord God, as we open your word, I just thank you, Lord God, that you would impart something to us as we study for the next little bit. I thank you that you would just make yourself known to us all, Father God. And that you would just, you're working on the inside of us and on the outside all the time. I think that we would all receive something from you, Jesus, tonight as we study for the next few minutes. And I confess over the show right now that in your name, Jesus, that sponsors and partners are coming into this program, that finances, big amounts of money are coming into this radio program. I thank you, Father God, that increases in listenership are coming into this program. And most important of all, I thank you, Jesus, that most important of all, that souls, many souls are coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this radio program, in Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Praise God. Now, I'm in 1 Kings chapter 9. We're going to talk about the Lord appearing to Solomon. Now, this is after Solomon built the temple. We're going to see what he talked, what the Lord talked to Solomon about as we study for the next little while. I'm in verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 9, NIV. Now, when Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord, and the royal palace, and he had achieved all that he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and plea that you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple, which you have built, by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, just like David your father did, and you do all that I command you to do, and you observe all of my decrees and laws, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons turn away from me and you do not observe the commands and decrees that I have given you, and you go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land that I have given them, and I will reject this temple that I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become, if I were, and an object of ridicule among all peoples. And though this temple is now symposium, all who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and will say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, well, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers up out of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why the Lord brought all this disaster on them. At the end of 20 years, during which Solomon built these two buildings, the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, King Solomon gave 20 towns in Galilee to Hiram, king of Tyre, because Hiram had supplied him with all the cedar and pine and gold he wanted. But when Hiram went from Tyre, the sons of towns Solomon had given him, he was not pleased with them. What kind of towns are these that you have given me, my brother? He asked. And he called them the land of Tabal, a name they have to this day. Now Hiram had sent to the king 120 talents of gold. Here is the account of the forced labor King Solomon transferred to build the Lord's temple. His own palace was supporting terraces, the wall of Jerusalem, and Hazor, Karajah, and Gazer. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had attacked and captured Gezer, which had set it on fire. He killed its Canaanite inhabitants and then gave it as a wedding gift to his daughter Solomon's wife. And Solomon rebuilt Gezer. He built up Lower Beth Horon, Belas, and Tadmor in the desert within his land, as well as all of his store cities and the towns and his chariots for his horses. Whatever he desired to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and throughout all of the territory that he ruled. All the people left from the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hittites, Jebusites, to their peoples was not Israelites. That is their disciplined remaining in the land whom the Israelites could not exterminate. How Solomon consecrated for his slave labor force as it is to this day. But Solomon did not make slaves of any of the Israelites. They were his fighting men, his government officials, his officers, his captains, and the commands of his chariots and charioteers. They were also the chief officials in charge of Solomon's project. I have 150 officials supervising the men who did the work. After Pharaoh's daughter had come up from the city of David to the palace, Solomon had built for her she constructed the supporting instance from the Lord along with them, and so fulfill the temple obligations. King Solomon also built ships at Ezron Geber, which is near Eliath in Edom, on the shore of the Red Sea. And Hiram sent his men, sailors who knew the sea, to serve in the fleet of Solomon's men. They sailed to Ophrah and brought back 620 talents of gold, which they delivered to King Solomon. Now, what you see here is that God, he gave instructions to Solomon. Very clear. I wanted the temple built. And he followed, for the most part, those instructions. Now, God also told him that the Israelites are to obey God, and that the temple is to be used for God's purposes. Solomon is told that if he walks in the ways of other gods and does not do what is right, that the temple will not look the same, and that God will, that basically he's basically telling them that it'll be that when people see it, they'll be appalled at what they see, and they'll wonder, why does it look like that? And that these people will have to tell them, because the Israelites did not honor the Lord their God, which brought their fathers up out of Egypt. Well, did Solomon exactly follow the Lord as God all his days? No. He did for a time, but not perfectly. Did the Israelites always follow the ways of the Lord their God? They didn't. So, as a result, that temple began to look different. Now, it doesn't say that in the chapter that I read. But later on, you'll see that that temple did not look, that those Israelites did not obey fully the voice of the Lord their God. They would only do what they wanted, what felt comfortable to them. God doesn't want you to serve and to obey him when it's convenient. Oh, come to church when it's convenient or at your earliest convenience. You know, back in the day, we had these answering machines. And my mom may have gotten a phone call and it may have said, you know, please give me a call back at your earliest convenience. Or please do this at your earliest convenience. Remember those books? Like those professional sounding, because I'll say at your earliest convenience. Well, God didn't say just do it at your earliest convenience, because that means just do it whenever it's the most convenient, when it's the most comfortable, when you can do it. I can't come to church this Sunday because my sons, Adam and Jacob and Benjamin all have a baseball tournament, and I named my children all three of them Bible names, so shouldn't that be spiritual enough for this Sunday? Well, God didn't say serve him when it's convenient or obey when it's convenient. God said to follow in my footsteps, by mine, I mean, the Lord. Obey him. Do as he requires of you. Be keen to him. Now, I know there's going to be times where you'll miss the service. Maybe you're on vacation. Maybe you miss all services while you're on vacation. And that's when you're on vacation or you're on a business trip. That's when streaming can come in handy. But you streaming all those church services because you're skipping them? Like if you get to the place where I'm not even going to go to church now because now I can just stream all the services. And by the way, there's more to it to this than just church and just church attendance. It's obeying the voice of God. And doing everything he calls you to do and not just the parts you like. And a lot of times, believe it or not, for many of us, a lot of times God is going to tell us stuff to do that we don't like. Whether it's go to a certain place we don't want to go, maybe minister to some people that though we're supposed to love everybody, we don't exactly like these people. Maybe something they did to us or something. You know? So, we just gotta look at ourselves and say, are we following in the ways of the Lord our God? Now, these Israelites we're not always following the Lord their God. As it turns out, it says when Solomon died, Solomon did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, he had all kinds of wisdom. And wisdom is not a good thing. In fact, in Proverbs, we read that wisdom is the principal thing. It's awesome. And so many of us can use some more of it in our lives. But eventually Solomon started going down a bit of a rough path. So we should always be paying attention, being attentive to what the Lord our God says. Telling us to do. And if we focus on him, and not just on us all the time, it can be a lot better for us. All right. And some of us are in a worse place than others of us, but we should all work at just seeing where our walk with God is. But
it's 7:22 right now, and I have to use the
restroom. Oh, that's okay. But as I was saying, now, you believe in God for a miracle. Your miracle coming or your miracle not coming is directly related to your obedience to God. Your miracle is directly related to your obedience or disobedience to God. My God is not a God who rewards disobedience. So you got a kid. You tell him to do some stuff. And he throws a temper tantrum, screams at you, slams the door in your face. Says to heaven with you. I doubt he'd say to heaven with you, maybe. But we'll just say he says some not nice things. I don't think a good parent, actually I know this, a good parent will not reward that and say, hey Johnny, you know that temper tantrum is true? Let's go get some ice cream. And by the way, you didn't repent either? Let's go get some ice cream. Your parent, you will not reward that. And you're being disobedient to God. God will not reward your disobedience. Uh-uh. She tells you to do certain things. And maybe he said do it by this point. And you're not doing it. Your lack of obedience could be what's postponing you. Could be what postponing your miracle. Could be what is postponing your blessing that you are believing God for. So, this goes along with what I said earlier about the vision from God. God calls us to something, and we're not doing it maybe because we never heard God tell us that's what he wanted us to do. You know, the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, and to me at least, that what? What? No. To me, that does not mean, listeners. Well, that doesn't mean, oh, so I didn't know, so I just have an excuse, right? Nope. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that doesn't mean Yale or University of Michigan or MSU or that school to the south, that state to the south, that I'm now just going to start calling the candy bars. You might find out why in a little bit. You might not. But lack of knowledge because you didn't pay attention or you didn't hear it from God when called you to do something. Because God has placed a calling on every one of us. Imagine if God called you to pastor a church. And you're not doing it. And maybe you're wondering, why am I not getting everything I could be getting out of serving God? Say, maybe you've been serving God for a while, and maybe you've been a Christian, maybe you go to church, maybe you... You're good, but maybe sometimes you're just not getting everything you could be. Could it be maybe that you're not doing everything that God called you to do? So it's important that we just check ourselves with God. And we should ask ourselves, God, am I doing exactly what you would have me be doing right now? And to me, at least, this is pretty important. Because the Bible does say, my plans for you are for your good, to give you a future, to prosper. And so, you should check where you're at. and make sure that we are where God called you to be. Heavenly Father, bless us tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for this great opportunity to give this word. Thank you, Lord God, that we will check ourselves and see where we're at. And we will make sure that we are where you would have us be, Lord God. I just thank you tonight that your hand is upon us, that we're going to be doers of this word and not hearers only. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, with no ice, of course. But now, time for sports. We'll start with hockey. Now, in hockey, the Red Wings are off to a beautiful two-game winning streak. They're 2-0. You know, something about that 2-0 Red Wings just sounds really good. They beat Nashville and Dallas. Both of these on the road. Yeah, they beat them both teams. Both wins were on the road for the Wings. Now, for those of you who may not be big hockey fans, the Stars and Predators in recent years have been two of the pretty really good teams in the Western Conference of the NHL, which Detroit used to be a part of, but then Detroit got moved to the East. But, you know, like I said, they started out with a nice win. So, for them, that was good to see that they got that win. Both of those wins, 5-3 on Saturday, 4-3 yesterday. So good job, Red Wings. Nice when we can talk about Detroit teams winning these games. My hope is that we can keep talking about it. Hopefully, come playoff times, we can talk about some playoff victories down there at Little Caesars Arena. In downtown, down there in downtown Detroit on Woodward Avenue at I-75. Let's move on to football. High school. First, we go over to Mount Pleasant. Chemex, number one in Division Two. Oilers, number four in Division Three. Both had given up similar amounts of points and scored similar amounts of points. I mean, both had scored a lot more than what they'd given up. And, well, I was at that ball game. And Midland won 22-21. And great effort by both teams. I have to say this. Both teams did great. Midland did even better as they got the win. But I have to say, I observed it. I was listening to the radio on the way back to Midland on our front with our friends from ESPN 100.9 FM. They were talking about a couple of mistakes that Midland and Mount Pleasant both made that they neither of these teams can be making when you get into week one of the playoffs, week two of the playoffs, and on forward. As both schools, I imagine, hope to go further than that. The Midland, as I said, so both teams struggled a bit with penalties, offside penalties, holding penalties. Midland got a personal foul, I believe. Turnovers. Mount Pleasant turned it over and downs at one point to Midland near the end of the game. Midland threw an interception late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter. That two plays later resulted in Mount Pleasant's quarterback throwing for a 71-yard touchdown to put the Oilers up 21-15. Chemics answered back rather quickly, got back on the lead, stayed with the lead, which was great to see. Another takeaway, I have to say, I was proud of how Midland fans traveled. Did you hear about that book, how Midland traveled really good? Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Their student section did a good job, like 170, 180 students. It was beautiful to see. And of the regular season, all the road games I've been to, that Midland have played to, all the regular season road games that I've been to, which I've been to a few of them. This one might have been the sweetest because I love how great the student body showed up. It was like, and the bleachers were all like, at least on the away side, it was like communal. So it was like one huge, long row. And then other rows in front on top of that. So it was like 20, 30 feet away from the kids, but because there was no steps, it made it feel like you were right by them, which I thought was amazing. And the energy that they were showing, beautiful. Now, we didn't have the band, but we did. That would have been just awesome. Midland almost made it look like a home game, literally. Is that what you heard, too, is that it almost looked like a home game for Midland?
I did hear that.
Is this one of the first times you've heard them say that at Mount Pleasant that you know of?
That I've heard, yeah.
Because where you at, I'm asking her this on air because Brooke was a cheerleader. Did you go to one of the games that was at Mount Pleasant, by the way, Brooke? I think you did, didn't you?
I did.
And how full was that Midland side? This time it was like a good 70-80. What was the Midland side when you went? Only like 40%?
Yeah, we get 40 or
50%. And about maybe 80 kids, but that was it?
Right.
Maybe 60? Not no 170 like what you heard was there. Not like that big party that we just had a couple days ago. You know, where they had 170 kids there. Midland is, and so now, what's this mean? Midland is now 6-0, automatically qualified for the playoffs. This is the last year, though, in Michigan that there are automatic playoff qualifiers because we're going to a new system. which I will discuss when the playoffs come in several weeks. But as I said, Midland, automatic qualifier, 6-0, keeps that top ranking, or at least if they don't keep it, they'll be at like number two. Because that win against Mount Pleasant, beautiful. Beautiful. And Midland can clean up the turnovers and the penalties. Then, and the way, and just the way these kids vouch for each other. Coach Mettner has said, these kids are like totally buying into each other. And when you have that, teams that have that kind of athletic ability and they vouch for each other in that, if they can clean everything up, it's almost like, what is the limit? That's just a recipe for, like, that's what teams that make deep playoff runs, that's what they do, huh, Brooke?
Yeah.
So that means, if I were to guess, I would say Midland will be at home for at least two more Friday nights in the playoffs. With no rain, right? So the band gets to play with 3 minutes,
right,
or 2 minutes. And then, so it was, like I said, it was just a beautiful thing. That game, it was just beautiful, not only to see how Midland won and how great they fought. Kudos to Mount Pleasant, too, for their job well done, but at the end there, it almost seemed like they just kind of handed it over to Midland. Like, they kept driving, but then, you know, penalties and a turnover on downs, that just makes it harder. But now we go over to Dow. Dow gets the big win over Saginaw, 56-0 at Community Stadium on their homecoming. Jude had threw for several touchdowns, ran for a couple. In my mind, Dow played the best game they've played all year. Dow has struggled with giving up a lot of points. They've also been struggling with injuries a bit as of late. And for Dow, it's been kind of a year of ups and downs. They're back to 500. They have an away game at Bay City Western this Friday, who got a win of their own over John Guan. So they're looking to come back up from the ashes of defeat a little bit. See what they can do, as they have already played Mount Pleasant. Dow has not. If Dow wants to finish at 5-4 or 6-3, they'll have to play a really good game at Bay City Western. After that, they'll host Mount Pleasant, but they'll need to do everything right. I mean, get everything right, do everything right, get some guys back healthy, and they'll have to have some extra intensity. Step it up a bit. They want to beat Mount Pleasant. And then they'll have to really study Midland hard if they want to beat Midland. Because from what I've seen, Midland can be adaptable. Dow's going to have to figure it out too. They want to. Dow can get in with a loss to Midland get to 5-4, or a loss to Mount Pleasant and be 5-4. They cannot lose to both Midland and Mount Pleasant and make the playoffs, because then they'll be 4-5. And if you're 4-5, you don't make the playoffs. So, in a few minutes, in a little bit, if there's time, I'll do kind of a new kind of an assessment on where we are with the teams I pick on a weekly basis. Where are they compared to where I thought they would be? So, let's move forward. Michigan got the win over Iowa, 10-3. 10-3, folks. What are my takeaways? Well, props to Michigan's defense. Their defense did a great job. Part of what was hindering Iowa so much was those penalties. In one series in the fourth quarter, I was listening to it on the radio on AM 790, and I watched and I heard Iowa commit four penalties, four of them, within like six plays. I know it's the big house, it's loud, but four penalties in six plays, I don't know how you excuse that, Brooke. Something's not right. And that's even if they're all 5-yarders. For only 20 yards, but still, that doesn't make it right. Really doesn't. Now, like I was saying, they do pick up the win. They are 4-1, so that's good for Michigan. What needs to change? That offense has to get better. Yeah, but Michigan beat Rutgers 52-0. Oh, Rutgers. Oh. This happens to be that their defense at Rutgers isn't very good. A good offense is able to get stuff to work even when other stuff is going wrong. You know, one of the other defenses is still there. But they'll find a way to get the offense going. That's what a good offense does. But like I said, on a side note, seeing what that team to the south did to Michigan State, I hope Michigan was watching this game and that they will get to work on figuring out what they have to do to beat Michigan State, to beat Penn State, to beat Notre Dame, to beat that team to the south, the candy bars. Specifically the peanut butter one. So we'll just see. My hope is that they can. Because otherwise it could be a couple more big spankings for the Wolverines. One of them could be at home, and that might not be so pretty. Because I don't want to hear a super quiet big house. It always feels good when I'm watching a Michigan game and the Michigan crowd is on their feet, cheering, bands rocking. MSU. They fall to that team to the south by a score of 34-10. Well, the Spartans only gave up 14 yards in the first quarter, and you're thinking, hey, Michigan State could be on a roll. They could do some things tonight. Woo! Go green, go white. But then that team to the south kind of decides they have some other plans, and they kind of go up the middle and get some couple running touchdowns and then a couple passing touchdowns from their quarterback. In the fourth quarter, at one point, they had Michigan State's quarterback, Lewerke. He threw a pass. It was picked off. And it would have been returned for a touchdown, but then it was called back to do a penalty. Otherwise, that would have made it 40 or 41-10. But I figured that one would be a blowout. And, well, it was. Those number 25 ranked Spartans are not in the top 25 anymore. Now the question becomes, can Michigan State figure out what they have to do to beat Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Michigan? What do they have to do? And to beat Penn State, what do they have to do so they can get these big wins that they need to help them remain relevant? But it would have been better if they could have at least played the whole first half, but they played the first quarter. Because even though I do like that team to the south, I want Michigan teams to play as well as they can against them and hopefully beat them. If they have a lot of good talent. That's why I'm saying about Michigan. I'm hoping Michigan can get to work and get to these good offensive wins. For and same thing with Michigan State, NFL. Now, for the NFL, Thursday night, Rams, Seahawks, in Seattle. Well, turns out the 12th man was a little bit too much for the Rams, as they got beat 30-29. The Rams, after starting undefeated, have lost their last two games, as has another team that I will talk about in just a second. Todd Gurley, folks, G-U-R-L-E-Y, by the way, he is becoming less and less and less of a factor on that team. Not more, less. And they are really struggling to get things going with it. But like I said, they've lost both of the last two games now. No. In the other game I picked, Green Bay at Dallas. Oh, So, you got Lambeau Field to Green Bay, but you go into Dallas, almost 100,000 people screaming, yelling, hollering. Maybe it'll be too much for you. Well, it wasn't. As Green Bay goes in there and beats the Cowboys, 31-19. They messed up Prescott a bit, gave Zeke a hard time. Keep in mind, these are the Cowboys that also lost to the Saints last week. A Saints team that, by the way, is lacking some of the win power as Drew Brees is out. The Saints, by the way, won again yesterday, so they only have one loss. Atlanta, on the other hand, along with some of these other teams, Atlanta, by the way, is struggling as they got crushed by the Texans yesterday. The Chiefs, with their first loss, they fall to the Colts, 19-13. So it was kind of an interesting day, interesting weekend in the NFL. The Bills are still undefeated. The Bills of all teams. I thought they were supposed to be the lowly Bills. Well, they're 5-0. Just like the Patriots. Tonight, what you have for Monday Night Football, the Browns versus the 49ers in San Francisco. Browns are surprising a lot of people this year by how good they're doing. As are the 49ers. They're actually surprising me, too, with how good they're doing. As a team who had only won one or two games a couple years ago, now they only have one loss, I think. So my pick for tonight. Forty Winers, 32. Hash brown casserole, 29. Once again, that is 32-29, 49ers with the win is my prediction. By the way, with this past weekend's pick, how did we do? I said Midland and Dow would both win. Yep. I said Michigan would lose to Iowa. Well, they won. Michigan won. State loses to Ohio State. I predicted that. They did. And then Cowboys winning at home against the Pack. Lastly, I said that on Thursday night that the Seahawks would win. I mean, they would fall to the Rams. Nope, the Seahawks beat them. 3-3 yesterday. We went 3-3 this weekend. So 50%. After the previous week, we were undefeated. Tomorrow night, I will come and I will do an assessment on where are we with these games, these teams I picked, compared to where I thought we would be over the course of a season. And until tomorrow night, everybody, God first, God always. So long, everybody.